The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy.
On this episode of Pennies Going In Raw, we discuss Donald Trump, revival of the SPACs, and sympathies part two.
You find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
Rob, 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f*** man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny.
And Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going In Raw. Today is Sunday, October the 24th, and dude, is the Trump pump. The Trump pump is back. DWAC, was it a meme stock? Was it a Trump pump? I mean, it's crazy, man.
You can love him, you can hate him, but as a trader, he's still bringing volume to the market, even though he's not, you know, in office anymore. And that, to me, is... That's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's so crazy, though, that of all the runners this year, AMC, GME, like, he still comes back and he's still are here. I don't know. Like Obama, you know, like, Obama left, you know, and nobody's seen after office. Nobody's talked to him for, like, 8 months. Trump, it's like, he sets off a SPAC of all things. Of all things, a SPAC he sets off for what, like 1,000, 2,000%?
Yeah, only time you really hear about Obama now is when Michelle Obama's like holding hands with George W. Bush at some event.
So, it was insane though. Obviously we've never seen something like that, like that kind of theme, but it just comes back to what we talked about that. It is awesome to trade themes. I mean, this was a really good week. There was a lot of what we talked about last week, which is what we wanted to see, which was the first move at hold, go higher, etc. And I mean, DWAC, not only did it hold, go higher, I mean, it basically rode the 9 EMA all day. If you were just watching like that 9 EMA, I mean, it just... rode it all the way up. I mean, it would come down, test it, and then go higher. You know, come down, test it, go higher. And it just rode it. And I mean, I didn't use that as my strategy. But if you use that, I mean, you would have made bank. I mean, there were people that made millions. I mean, I got tagged in like one post, it was 4.1 million. Another one that was 2.1 million. Another post, it was like 800,000. I mean, DWAC was a really good trader. And like I said, what we talked about last week, the pullback to hold, stabilize, go higher was in full effect. And it was really cool to see from like a trading aspect. I didn't touch it after like after 60 or after 50, 55 or whatever.
And for anyone that doesn't know, like, or just wants a little quick recap. So on Thursday, it opened around, I think 15 hit around 45, and then Friday gapped all the way up to 155, 160. Absolute crazy move. Dropped all the way down to around 73-ish and ended the day around 80 after closing at 94. Crazy, crazy moves, like you were just saying. Is there a point where you stop trading this just because, like, I know you said you didn't touch it after a certain price, but is there a point where you're just like, okay, I would take profits here. I would take profits 50% ago. I'm not even going to day trade this because, like we always say, the backside of a trade comes 10 times faster.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we just talked about the 9 EMA, even if you were riding that up, and let's just say that was your stop loss, when there's so much volume inside a ticker, like DWAC, or even let's take CEI that was trading a billion shares, what ends up happening, I mean, we see it, we see it on DWAC, is that one candle can take it down. I mean, as I look here, one candle took it from, you know, 170 down to 142. So if you had 1,000 shares, I mean, you just lost 30 grand in one candle. So even if you were using the 90 EMA, your stop loss or something like that, you know, sometimes it's just the move happens faster than what you think, or, you know, faster than what you expect, and you end up getting smoked. So that's where it comes into play. It's like, okay, listen, like, obviously volume precedes price action. But at the same time, if I know, you know, I mean, even I talked about inside, I've talked about it on a few different platforms, but I knew that DWAC had no business being up here. Am I still going to trade the momentum? Yes. But fundamentally, I, you know, obviously I know that it's not worth anything near this. So how I handle that is that I cut down the share size. I was trading with like 3,000 shares at like $20 a share, which is, you know, like 60 grand, which, you know, for my account is smaller, you know, like that's not the normal share size that I would use. So in doing so, you know, when it gets to a certain point, it's like, okay, this is so much volume that one candle can take out 30-35% of the entire market cap, you know, or you know, bring the price down 30%. That's when it's like, okay, I'll take off 50%. I'll take off some more. I'll take off some more. And it comes back to what we talked about, is that it, have some technicals up. You know, your technicals don't need to be your end all be all. But like, for instance, even like the VWAP, when the DWAC hit 175, the VWAP was at 92. That's 100% higher than where the VWAP is. Like at that point, that's when like the common sense kind of has to kick in. Like, okay, this needs to pull back, you know? Like it pulled back 50%. And I mean, it bounced almost right at the VWAP. Like you said, you know, it went to 175 and was back underneath 100 in like 15 minutes. That's honestly like people were like, oh, it's tanking. It's really not tanking. It's pulling back to the technicals. So it comes down to like, you know, you kind of gotta have some like, you know, common sense in there and not just be hold, because every stock pulls back. And especially one with this much volume, we knew that eventually it was going to get rug pulled. And I'm not saying that it can't go higher. I'm just saying that, you know, that's when trading around the core and understanding where the stock is at relative to the technicals, relative to the fundamentals is super important.
And just for clarity, this DWAC, is this just Donald Trump SPAC for his social media site Truth?
Yeah. So that's what it sounds like. But it doesn't, I don't think, I didn't do too much notice into this, but it doesn't, I don't even think they have anything yet. Like they don't, like it's not like they have users or anything. Hang on, let me look.
Yeah, I mean, like, regardless of the fact of the matter is, like, we didn't know about Truth. I mean, yeah, you might have if you were, like, in the know one random social media bullshit. But, I mean, this SPAC came out, and it turns out, like, this Truth thing just seemed to all come up in the same day. You know, just, yeah. Like, out of nowhere, really. You know, we didn't see this with the Parler, didn't see this with any of the other, like, random social medias, but I guess when you kind of think about this, like, and you're trying to play other things in its theme, is this social media? Is this SPACs? Is it, you know, is there a multitude of them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So there's a few things that that I was seeing getting around. And that's the good and the bad about new themes is that the good part is that, you know, everything runs crazy. I mean, any connection to Trump was running insane. The bad part about it is that some, like the second or third day of the theme, which we saw on Friday, sometimes, I mean, things get smoked. So, I mean, like some, I had that SALM or whatever, that had a really good day Thursday and Friday, but it hit 682 on Friday and it ended the day at 470. So it ended up getting, it was still up 26%. But like if you had bought at 650 or 680 and you held, I mean, you would have gotten smoked. So the good, again, the good part is that the first day, everything runs with any kind of connection. The bad part is knowing that the second and third day, it usually doesn't run as far as the first day. And again, everything needs to pull back. And so you saw DWAC when, like, I'm looking at the charts right now. SALM hit 682, the high of the day, the same time that DWAC hit 175. That's not a coincidence. I mean, wait. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's not a coincidence. That happens because they run. And they also get, and again, not smoked, but they also pull back together. So, you know, 175, DWC ended the day at 94. That's almost a 50% pullback. 682, Solemn hit, ended the day at 470. You know, that's like a 40% pullback. So my point to all this is that, you know, you've got to have the themes up. And the one rule that I always stick to is that the first day of a new theme, everything runs, and it's usually the furthest it runs. And what I mean by that is that that's usually when, like, any connection works. The second day, you saw that not all the connections worked. It was a pop and drop. But like Song, it was that pop, hold, consolidate, pop higher, pop, hold, consolidate, pop higher. You know? And so you saw that trend on some of them day two. But unlike the first day, not everything that was connected to Trump was flying. I mean, I got smoked on Friday on some of them. So I think that that's really important. And that's even like I know that, you know, like I know that I was, I knew that some things were going to get smoked and I still got smoked. So it's just something that, like, you know, new themes don't come around often, but when they do, you can bank really, really hard, but you can also get smoked really easily.
Yeah, like, and by the way, this food's going to be knocking on my door in a second. But yeah, like you're saying, like, DWAC was not a stock on Wednesday. And now you saw it, like, what it did, its massive moves, and immediately it's finding these sympathies, like DATS. You look at the DATS chart for Friday, it gapped up as well. It didn't even have to do the grind thing. Its chart is basically the exact same. I mean, it went from 880, it looks like, to about 1250, just gapped up the same way that DWAC did. So, I mean, and that connection, if you weren't putting it together, just social media. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, DWAC immediately just set off the market, set off sympathies, and hot boy market.
Yeah, and I mean, you see the algos are back. I mean, you see it inside the day. I mean, and if you couldn't see it, I mean, DWAC is a pure example of this. I mean, where, you know, this thing was trading so many shares and so much volume. And yes, of course, retail is in there. But again, it comes back to 70% of the market is controlled by algorithms. And so you see, I mean, we talked about it, may go away, you know, fall. I forget this. I honestly forget the same. But it's like may go away and then like fall, come back.
Fall.
Yeah. But my point is that, you know, you see the algorithms back. Like, it's not a coincidence that every year after Labor Day, as we go in October, things start to heat up. You know, it's not a coincidence that after May, things start to sell up and there's not that, you know, there's no algorithms. That's not a coincidence. And you see the difference. You know, again, 70% of the market is controlled by algorithms. When they're not turned on, you see how slow some of them is. I mean, you could just log on to Twitter and see the amount of bitching and the amount of fighting on Twitter. I mean, like the Twitter keyboards. This week, it was like, you know, everybody was like
sunshine and rainbows, man.
Yeah, sunshine and rainbows. I mean, that alone should tell you that the algos are back. Well, you know, like I barely saw any bitching. I saw like a few shorts.
The algos stop the bitching.
The algos stop the bitching because they take your, because they moon everything. I mean, like, seriously, like DWAC, I tried to buy 1,000 shares overnight just to hold it or whatever. I mean, I didn't get filled on. But we're just in like that market where it's like chasing works right now. And again, this is going to see, this is the part where it's like, this is great because this is when you can make your year. But this is the part that really bothers me because
build really bad habits,
terrible habits. Like, this is going to create such bad habits, especially for newer traders who, you know, let's just say that you had a really good January, February. And then the rest of the year has been terrible. And now you're starting, like, you know, this week was kind of fire. Listen, yes, chasing is working right now, but this isn't the market all the time. And so if you can only make money inside this market, you will eventually get smoked. I mean, the statistics are against you. So what I'm saying is that, yes, make your money right now. Chase. That's fine. I chase stuff. But I got smoked.
I was going to say, don't, you know that chasers are getting rewarded right now, but yes, you don't yes. have to chase. And
no.
instead of chasing, maybe just, you know, change your risk management up, you know, turn it down a notch. If you're usually going for that 1%, go for that 2%, you know?
I like that. I definitely like that. Yeah, size up. You know, I think like the better thing is like size up in this market. I personally feel it's okay to really size up inside this market.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we saw, I think it was what, like 8 months ago or 6 months ago, Gary tweeted and got a lot of heat for it saying, you know, this is the market. I'm going all in. Y'all should too. And that was a January, February, March, April thing.
Yeah.
During the summer, he's not doing that. I mean, I assume. Yeah.
No, but that's the thing is that, and that's the tough part about this, about trading in total. Because it's like, hey, if I can make $4,000 a day, you know, I make $1 million a year. If, you know, if you.
Sounds
if
good you on paper.
Live, yeah, it sounds good on paper, but. You know, you have a bad month. I mean, hell, you go on a 1 week streak of not making anything. Now you have to make double that the next week.
Oh, okay. I was like, mass off.
You just threw my mass off every
time. I thought you meant like you got to make $8,000 every week for the rest of the year. I'm like, okay. I'll let him have that one.
Let's just say you take a big loss. Like, I took a big loss on Friday on, I forget what it was, like BYCP or whatever, and like CYN, like a bag. And it's like if I was trying to hit goals, now I'm like starting from behind the eight ball. And so now not only do I have to make 8,000 next week, I might have to make 12,000. And then you go like the last 3 months have been rather, you know, let's just take June, July, August, and September. I mean, they were great months for me. So if I was doing the whole 4,000 a day thing, I might be like 300,000 behind, you know? So now I can't be like, oh, now I'm going to make like 22,000, you know, like, because that's not realistic. And that's the whole part about trading that makes it so difficult is controlling your emotions. You know, like on every pullback that you want to sell, you know, not selling on those, when DWAC is hitting 175, you're like, this thing can go to 200, you know? That's when the time when you got to sell. And that's the emotions that, you know, we're so alienated. You know, we're born with like this greed factor. And we're born for more and more. And that anytime that we see red, we want to sell. And trading is the exact opposite, which is so crazy to think about. But I'm getting a little off topic. But my whole point to this is that, you know, during this time, size up, this is when you can make your months. This is when you can make your year. And finish it out strong. Okay. We talked about it. We prepared for it. We wanted to see action where algorithms kick back on, relative volume kick back up. Wanted to see stocks pop, hold, consolidate, pop again. That's what we're seeing right now. I mean, Mark went hit 5. Fund hit 24. Fund is a piece of shit company. There's no debating. Fund is a piece of shit company. It hit 24. Now, again, it ended the day, I think, at like $5. Let me see. I'll look real quick. I think it ended the day at $8 a share. It hit 24. Like, this is the time when you can make it. Like, this is a time where, I mean, I'm literally seeing people make millions of dollars and tagging me like, yo, like, you, like, thanks. And I'm like, what? I'm like, give me some, you know? So the thing is that size up, still hold your risk management. You can size up in this market, but this is when you make your months. But then you also have to remember when it gets cold, you have to turn that off. You have to turn that greed off. You have to turn that, you know, that sizing up. And we talked about it, you know, just to keep the lights on. That's all during the cold months. Because when it's hot, like this week, this is when you can make more than you've ever made inside the past 4 months.
Going forward into that, I mean, while we're talking about themes as well, the IPOs. I mean, obviously, you know, Trump's thing was a SPAC. Hopefully that'll set off our SPACs. Big glasses guy now?
Yeah, I'm trying to protect my eyes. The blue light glasses I put on.
Nice. Okay. Just came out of nowhere, man.
I forgot to put it on, but you know, time to protect the others.
Right. So the IPOs, I mean, you saw CYN, CNTX, and you know, they definitely had some crazy moves as well. Is that kind of a theme to be looking out for as well as we go forward?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, so the thing about the IPOs is that, let's just say they're lower floats. A lot of times they'll be locked up. So even if the float's like 5 million shares, sometimes the float is much less than that. And I mean, I remember like 2017, 2018, that was like where I made my bread and butter. I would buy these IPOs. If they got killed, I would scoop them up and wait for any kind of news, knowing how thin they were. You know, so it comes back to, you know, timing your entries. Most of the time, if I look into a company and I'm not like, okay, they're a complete piece of shit. I mean, these companies aren't stupid. You know, like they go public and then they release the news. You know, like they're not stupid. They're not going to release the news before they go public. So a lot of the times it's the same thing like with reverse splits. We talk about the cycle, how companies drop offerings, increase the float, do a reverse split, and then they release news, get the stock higher again. Like, these companies aren't stupid. So a lot of times, if an IPO comes out of like $5 a share and it's trading at $3, and you know, you can look through the investor deck, like, all this is public, and I know that there's news coming, yeah, I'll take like 10,000 shares, 5,000 shares as a flyer. And I mean, sometimes they'll go $3, $4, $5. Because again, just to get back to the IPO price is $2 a share. So I mean, that's one of those times where, you know, you can really make your bread and butter. Now, that theme did die down inside 2019 and 2018, but also there weren't as many companies going public. So, you know, there's that too. So I think that's like that used to seriously be my bread and butter. And I think that, that theme can still work and do really well. The thing though is that, you know, again, not chasing, picking your entries.
Yeah. And kind of going with that, I know you just slightly touched on a little strategy there. For people looking to like get in on these lower float IPOs, and let's say they find somewhere that list everywhere they know, or they name all the new IPOs, et cetera, et cetera. Do you want to get in like right as it opens? Like, do you wait? Like, what is a good strategy? How do you get that proper entry? Because I mean, like that first day, I mean, sometimes it'll trade crazy, but other times it'll just be completely like almost unnoticed.
Yeah, I'll rarely trade an IPO that just opens. Mostly, unless I really, really like the company and I know the company. But most of the time, I like to let them sit, you know, do their thing, relax, you know, let the chart set up a little bit, because again, there's no chart because, you know, they haven't been public, you know. So I let the chart kind of work. I let it happen. And again, it comes down to what's my edge. So again, if I see something trading underneath the IPO price and I can stick a catalyst on it, and again, I know that the shares are locked up, so it's a lot thinner. Yeah. I'll be there. I'll be there. Because again, what's my edge? Trading underneath IPO price. I know a catalyst is coming. I know that insiders can't dump. I know that it's thinner than what it actually seems. You know, like all those things go into it. You know, I know that they have cash. That's good edge. That's edge where I can sit there and I can say, okay, great. You know, if it's trading at $3, I have a whole $2 move even before it gets back to IPO. You know, and then I can stick a catalyst on it. And then on top of that, it's real float is like 500,000. So if it gets 30 million shares, it'll go $4 or $5 a share. So that's edge right there. You know, and then on the backside, I say, okay, if the catalyst, I'll give this 1/4. You know, so it comes down to on the flip side, it comes down to opportunity cost and managing risk. So I'll say, okay, the catalyst is supposed to be here mid-October. I'll give it till mid-November and then I'm done with it. And then that's on the opportunity cost side. On the managing risk side, I'll say, okay, I'm trading this at $3. I'll add once at 250, and then I get stopped out at 210.
And when you say about the locked up float, just for the listeners real quick, can it be locked? Is it always just locked up by insiders, or can it be locked up by some diamond handed retails?
Yeah, I mean, that too. That's the other thing. You know, I mean, like some of these, I mean, even like, let's talk about DAX. I mean, DAX is a cold stock now. And you know, it was an IPO, and so not only are insiders locked up, but then you have you know, I mean, this thing moves so thinly because it's locked up, and on top of that, you have that cult, you know, it's a cult name. So you mix in a low flow with a catalyst that's also a sympathy to something up 2,000%, plus a cold ticker, and I mean, no wonder it halted up a few times. Like, it went from, what, 9 to 14 or something? You know, like, in hindsight, 2020, like, I didn't trade it. That's a no-brainer when you think about it. It's funny the way that those things work, because the market is, you know, the market is so much more than what the average investor knows about it, you know, if you will. And I mean, DATS, like, does DATS have any business being at 15? I don't know, but am I going to trade it at 15? Like, I can't say it's 120. If DWAC starts going again, you know I'm scooping DATS.
Yeah.
Do I know?
I mean, it closed even on the day. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing.
After being up 50%, you know?
That's the thing, is that if you pick your opportunities, right? I mean, in hindsight, like, DWAC should have been short at 175. I mean, I took it off my screen because I didn't want to be tempted by it. But I mean, this gave great opportunities, long side, short side. And that's the thing, is that everybody makes money inside this market. The only people that don't make money inside a market like this, what's it saying? It's like bulls, bears, and pigs or something.
Something gets bulls and bears can both get fat, but pigs get slaughtered or something. Yes, like greedy. It's something about greed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, is that, listen, you get greedy and you're going to get smoked. You know, you start in on the short side on DWAC and it keeps holding, you're going to get smoked. On the long side, it hits 175, it's 100% higher than where the VWAP is, and you're not going to take any profits, you're going to get smoked. Where you think that that's a good time to buy, you're going to get smoked because there's no edge there. You're not picking the right entries. You're FOMOing, or on the short side, you're being stubborn. You're going to get smoked. Okay, so again, the greed, the people that are chasing, the shorts that are, if you're a short, the people, if a stock keeps holding that key level, you're going to get smoked, because it's that greed factor. It's that not managing risk. It's that pride. And we all, you know, we've all been through it, but that's going to be the people that get smoked. There are so many opportunities out there. You have to have such a short memory. Like, even though I got smoked on Friday, Monday, I'm going to come right back to the market and nothing's going to change.
Yeah. I mean, when you start trading differently in a hot market, like let's say everyone's making money because it's so hot, and you take a 20K loss on some large cap option you just knew was going to do well, or some random trade. If you start slowing down in a hot market, it's going to be so much tougher for you to really get that money back. And I mean, by no means do I want to say, hey, you know, keep going crazy, keep doing, like, don't learn from your mistake. But at the same time, like, it seems like what we're seeing now will continue, and it's the time to make money. And
dude, this is the time to make money. I like that. This is the time to make money. And again, I feel like this episode, I keep reiterating because I feel it's so important. This is the time where you make your money, but you also have to remember and keep it inside the back of your mind. When it's cold, you have to remember that this is the kind of money that you can make. I mean, even myself, it's like, holy hell, like, I'm not hitting any of my goals this, you know, the past quarter. Like, I'm getting, you know, I'm not getting smoked, but I'm like, you know, not hitting the goals. And it's frustrating. And then you see the toxicness on Twitter. And it's terrible. But then this week, it's like, now all is forgotten. You know, like, the gates open back up to heaven for everybody. You know, everybody's best friend again. But again, I plead with you. Remember this when the times are tough. And if you're new, if you're a newer trader and you know that you have super FOMO, just stay away from it all, or take one or two shares. Because I know I had someone give me, they bought FUN at 20. Why? Because they had FOMO, because they bought it. And it's like, listen, look at the technicals. Also, look at you can take a peek at the fundamentals. And you would know that FUN has no business being up here. DWAC, did I want to trade bigger size? Yes. But I knew that DWAC has nothing. They're a blank check company. I'm on the website right now. It says, while we may pursue an initial business combination target in any business or industry, we intend to focus on combining with a leader in tech company. That says that they're not even sure what the company is going to do yet. So why is it worth $1 billion?
Yeah, it's so tough to trade shit like that, knowing that a halt down is could happen at any time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, but you still want to trade it. So size down, and you know, again, it's all about where you pick that entry. That's everything. You know, long side, short side, it doesn't matter. You know, from the short side, you know, if the stock pops and it comes back down and you chase it down and then it holds that key level and then it holds that key level again and it holds it again and it holds it again and you don't cover, you're asking for trouble. On the same side with the long side, if, you know, it keeps bailing VWAP, you just keep buying more, you're asking for trouble. So it's all about that entry. It's about entry, not being stubborn, and not being greedy. Mostly for the shorts, not being stubborn. Same for the long side, you know, not being stubborn, but even though, you know, chasing right now is working. And not being greedy, especially from the long side, and even from the short side, you know. From the short side, DWAC at one point intraday, 11:25 Eastern time, hit 68. So that was a $110, $108 pullback. And I mean, if you didn't cover there, within moments later, it was at 117. That's like a $50 move. That's insane. So those are the three things. If you have to write it down, don't be greedy. Don't be stubborn. Make sure your entry is the key.
Like I've mentioned, like I was really not trading that much the past few months, you know, moving and everything. But, you know, I planned it around a time where I knew, like, hey, I know what the market's going to be like. Hey, I know what August is. You know, September wasn't great. I know October usually gets hot. Well, that took a week or so. But, you know, it's like I had a great week and I'm just like, I'd much rather just have, you know, wait those 3 months instead of lose money like every other day or, you know, or work 8 hours a day trading to make $194. Like, you know, sometimes it's just better to take the break, you know, accept the fact, you know, we don't have to be no other job in the world is someone like, oh, I can take the day off. Fuck that. I'm gonna lose money at work, you know, like.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that our society always believes that, you know, the hardest worker is the one that works the most hours. And that it truly comes down to trading being working smarter, not working harder. You know, sometimes staying at the desk, and I mean, I can tell you this, like, staying at the desk usually loses me money. I know one trader, he only trades options now, and he only trades for 2 hours a day. From the short side, that he has one strategy, and he just trades big with it. And guess what? He made $17 million last year. And so it comes down, and I'm like, damn, why don't I do that? And he's like, dude, if I sat at the desk every day, I wouldn't have made that much money. He's like, I trust my strategy. You know, if I truly believe in my where the stock is at, then he goes, I'll walk away for the day. And, you know, as long as I manage my risk tight, and I'll walk away. And you know, he killed it. And he continues to kill it. So one of those things where it's like, you know, I always say it, but one of these days I'm going to take off a swimmer. I'm not there yet. Like, I'd like to be at a certain level, I feel like. But I mean, even me.
Just
like,
take the hours down, man. Do some phone trading. Take the PC off, man. It's nice, man. Hit the pool.
It's tough, though, because I'm sucked into it. Like the you know, always being in front of the desk, not wanting to move. You know, even eating lunch. Like, how many times have I been like, damn, this piss just cost me like $5,000-$10,000, you know, or like this lunch, you know? I mean, I was home this week. I missed like a perfect entry, like the entry that I was waiting for on, I forget what it was, and I missed it. And I thought my mom was going to slap me because I was like, fuck, you know? Like, I mean, I thought the back end was coming. But it's just, you know, it's just how it is.
Well, in a less exciting series of events, Wish, you know, had a good beginning of the week from 5 to around 6:30. And then on, you know, Wednesday, I haven't mentioned, I'm selling some. It's up 20% in the past couple of days. I'm not the poster boy for bag holding. And I mean, I just added them back around that 520 and 530 mark too. So, I mean, that's really what trading around the core is. If you want like the example, because I know everyone knows the price of Wish because everyone's fucking bagged. But No, I mean, I think that's what we mean all the time when we say trading around the core. And that's exactly like how I played it and how I intend to. I'm still down on it tremendously. But, you know, I'm going to work my way out of it. Fuck a wash sale.
Dude, you know, and that's the thing is that like, I'm looking at it, that was a perfect entry. That was a perfect call. And again, if you look at Wish, I mean, you played it perfect. There's no other way to put it. You played it perfectly. And it came down. I mean, we had talked about it 2-3 weeks before. We said what? It was probably going to, you know, when it broke the downtrend, it would pop, take some profit. And that's exactly what you did. I mean, you killed the trade.
You killed the trade.
But did you have size in it?
Yeah, I had a pretty solid week. I'm thinking about it. You had a nice little week there. Yeah, I had a good one, man. So, but yeah, guys, hopefully, you know, we'll see the great reversal happen soon. But, you know, right now, I mean, it's still a lot better trading around the core when it's going up 30% in a couple of days than when it's going down 5% every day. So,
dude, that's the thing, though, is that you know, if you get a few more, if Wish creates some kind of range, is there that downtrend? I mean, you can, and you do that.
I'll make my money back.
Same trend. Yeah, without even the price moving. And that's the thing, is that like people don't understand. It's like, hey, listen, if you just trade around that range, and you know, you traded perfectly, you waited for the downtrend to break. Now, if it does create a range, I mean, I'm there. I'll be there. You know, I mean, and again, the RSI is still like nothing, you know, so it can create a range, and then when it breaks out, it can break out hard again. And, but if you already get back to even, you know, if this move happens 3 times, you'll make all but your money back. And then if it breaks out, then, you know, I mean, now you're gravy, you know, instead of being down 40%, 60%.
Well, I think that's enough trading talk for today. But how was you went to a Breathe Carolina concert last night with what, Kenny and Dago Dom, our podcasting brethren?
Yeah. Met Dom, KP there. I met Trading King Eric. Met him there. It was a fun time. We had a really good time. We were in Philly.
Oh hell yeah!
Really good time. Well, dude, the cool thing, you know, what we were talking about is that with all the trips that we had planned. Even though like you live 1500 miles away, they live 3000 miles away. I don't think we're going longer than 3 weeks through the rest of the year without seeing each other.
Yeah. We hang out a lot.
It's crazy. I got friends that live like one town over that I see less.
Yeah. I'm reluctant to see like a lot of people. Like, can you not come over? But yeah, no, I mean, it's been fun. I think, Zach was supposed to come with me last night to the basketball game, and then he was supposed to come tonight to the St. John concert, but he messed up his dates and he's in Las Vegas, so sucks for him. I'm not his loss, not mine, you know.
Yeah,
I didn't want to hang out with him.
yeah you were doing it as a favor to him.
He asked me to do anything, I'll do it, man. He's like, hey, you can you drive to Wisconsin to pick up this Powerade from this gas? I was actually headed to Wisconsin, so this is actually perfect. All right, guys. Well, see you Wednesday. Make sure to give us 5 stars, please. And we do have the Cozy Collection coming out, and it'll be warm. Hot.
Yeah.
All right. See you guys.
Hell yeah.